How's this? This is not a prop, it's a necessity. We're gonna switch things up a little bit. You know, the most dangerous part about open mic is a spoken word piece. And that's exactly the territory we're venturing into tonight. Inspired by a number of rolling rocks during the shift, and a rather strange day involving getting pulled over not once but twice in an 18-hour period for pretty much the same infraction. We're now going to venture into the abyss that is the most dangerous area of the open mic. I'd like to tell you a story that takes place in New England not too long ago. It's very important that it takes place in modern day because it's not a story about a man's man. It's sort of a story about a foul little boy named Stanley. Stanley lived in the eastern part of Massachusetts, an area frequented by tourists. He was too young to have a job, although he could have. Other boys worked at his age. He was ambitious. He could have been hardworking, but there was one small problem. He was a very foul, foul child. He wasn't fond of the bath. He wasn't fond of changing his clothes. In fact, he got caught up in other things, and every now and then would emanate terribly, terribly from his innards. These sounds would come that were like the things from the pit of hell. And his mother would tell him, "Stanley! Stanley, you are disgusting. No woman's going to want to be near you, Stanley. How are you going to have a job when you do these foul things and smell like you smell?" He didn't feel disheartened by this. He decided he was just going to be Stanley. He was going to continue to smell. He was going to continue to belch. And that was going to be how it went. So Stanley started to get to the age that he wanted to apply for jobs, but they take you for a job interview and it's always in a little room with somebody who smells very nice. Or maybe they smell like cigarettes, but they definitely don't smell like Stanley smelled. So we'd get in these little rooms. He'd talk all enthusiastically about how much he wanted the job, but they wouldn't call back. He didn't know why. So one evening, late in the summertime, Stanley was out on the rocks where he often spent his time when he was feeling disheartened, when he was feeling like there wasn't a lot of hope, and a storm started rolling in. And Stanley looked up at the lighthouse and saw the light circling. He thought, "It'll be okay if any ships come in. They'll see the lighthouse and everything will be fine." And then a strange thing happened. He was watching the lighthouse circling and circling, and it was like a heartbeat. It was a very comforting thing to him every time the light came around and shone on him, and then it went back into the darkness. And then a curious thing happened. The heartbeat stopped. And he heard, just as that light went out, just as the entire coast was plunged into total darkness, he heard the sound of a ship. Now, this wasn't just any ship. This was a ship carrying something very important to the economy of Massachusetts. This was a ship carrying something that kept thousands of people in Massachusetts employed, and indeed all of New England. The economy, the happiness of the New England people depended on the contents of this ship. This ship carried Dunkin' Donuts. He went to the lighthouse and realized that the light was gone. He realized something was terribly wrong, and he found the lighthouse keeper and his family were running frantically, trying to find a new light bulb, trying to change the lens, trying to do something to make it so that the ship would not crash into the rocks, because without the lights, with the fog and the storm rolling in, surely they were doomed. Surely all of Dunkin' Donuts were going to end up at the bottom of the ocean to be eaten by zebra mussels or possibly picked off by seagulls and even fouler species. What were they to do? And then Stanley thought, "My day has finally come." He climbed the stairs up to the top of the lighthouse. Climbed out onto the balcony where the New England mist and the cold where you could hear the gulls circling, where you could hear that Dunkin' Donuts ship that everybody in New England depended on so much coming closer and closer to the rocks. And he wondered, would he be able to do it? And then he paused. He could feel something brewing. The boat kept getting closer and closer. He didn't know what he would do. The lighthouse keeper said, Stanley, you've got to do something for us, man. You've got to have something in there. You've got to have something in your wee little guts that you can do something about this Dunkin' Donut ship. All these people in New England are depending on you, Stanley. What would happen? And then? Only because Stanley was at the top of that lighthouse. Oh, thank you. Only because that boat was just so damn close. The captain of the ship, they heard this distant sound. And it wasn't like a Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer kind of thing. It wasn't a beautiful, magical, look at him leading Santa's sleigh. It was a, good God, we're going to crash into those fucking rocks, guy. Fucking crank it hard to stab it. Jesus. Who's that kid that's belting so loud out there? I don't know. He can't be on a boat. And so they cranked it hard to stop it. And thanks to Stanley's belching, thanks to his foul and evil ways, the boat went back on the appropriate course, and Stanley gave a jubilant belch of glory. Well, that wasn't quite so jubilant, but his was very glorious and very jubilant. I'm not quite sure how to take this. So Stanley, after this, took a lot of heart, and he thought, maybe now I can get a job, maybe things will work. But the fact of the matter is, despite his heroic Dunkin' Donuts story, nobody wants to hire a foul little boy who belches and is just disgusting.
Let's give a hand for our spoken word segment of the night. Rocket Car and CJ.